like to continue our series. We're in the Beatitudes, and so I would like to welcome up my beautiful and talented and amazing wife, Miss Tara Dedivaux.
Luke chapter 6. So basically what Francis Chan says, not that I can be Francis Chan, but I will try my hardest. He is a phenomenal godly speaker who loves the Lord, and said that we should look at our lives and to say and to encourage each other to look at what does it look like to have the attitude of Christ towards orphans and towards kids that don't have families. And so I thought what a special privilege it would be if I would invite one of my kids. And so I asked my kids to speak. My kids have never spoken in front of a crowd, so I thought there would be one that would speak because he's crazy, and he turned me down. So I want to introduce my kid from the Philippines and my daughter, Rianne. Will you give a round of applause in Jesus' name? Can we get a stool for her, and a microphone? So here we go. We're going to be all discombobulated today, but it'll be all right. So here you go, baby. So your daddy's going to get you a stool right there, and you're going to sit on it. This is my third daughter, and so she said, Mom, I will talk. And so we're going to put her on that. Okay, here she is. And so we have a couple of questions about orphans and what it looks like and what does it feel like, because sometimes we don't understand what goes on in someone's mind. So baby, okay, here we go. How did you feel to be without a family in the Philippines?
I was lonely because I didn't know anyone.
Okay, so you didn't know anybody and you were lonely. Okay, so the next question is, what were some of the things you dreamed about whenever you thought of like a forever family or a family that would always be yours?
Spending Christmas with each other and getting presents.
Spending Christmas and getting presents and having a family during the holidays. Okay, so how did you like, now she lived in an orphanage called the Cebu Shelter of Hope. How did you like living there? What were some of the good things about it?
They taught us about Jesus.
They taught you about Jesus. But what were some of the things that like hurt you and made you like sort of sad?
Some girls tease me sometimes.
Okay. So you got a lot of kids living in the same place all at one time. They actually had 90 kids living in the shelter at one time. That can be a little bit crazy. If you have bunches of kids, you can know. How did you feel when you heard that you were going to have a forever family?
Excited and nervous.
Excited? Why?
Because I
don't know. Because you realized you were going to a great family, maybe? Yeah? What were you nervous about?
Not even knowing them.
Not knowing who they were going to be and if they would be crazy or not, right? Yeah, she has figured that one out. How do you feel? How do you feel now? How do you feel now that you have a forever family?
Secured.
All right. Y'all give a big round of applause. That's a big deal for her. And we wanted to have that as a part. Would you think about it? When you think of, I know this series is on attitudes, and I know that Pastor Ted last week talked about the poor and spirit being humble, and he's going to talk about forgiveness, and he's going to talk about thankfulness for the next couple of weeks. And these thoughts make sense to us to have that kind of attitude in our lives. But I believe that God has an infinite concern, more than we can think, about the orphan and the widow and the poor and the prisoner. And then some of you don't even fit into any of those kind of things, and you're like, what about me? And so today we're going to talk about all those groups of people. In fact, Jesus talks a lot about this. In fact, if you look from Genesis to the book of Revelation, clearly the word of God is that God's heart is concerned for everything that I just spoke about. And in fact, on the screen, we're going to look at Psalm 68 in verse 5 and 6 before we go into Luke. And it says this, a father to the what? The fatherless, a defender of the widow, is God. Everybody say, is God. Now, God can be a whole bunch of things. We know him as Father, or maybe he's Abba to you, or maybe he's Jehovah Jireh, or maybe Jehovah my provider. But in this case, God is introducing himself as a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widow, is God. Everybody say, is God. So when we talk about the character of God, here is who God is, the father of a fatherless. He is a defender of of the widow. So I make that, that makes me feel good on the inside that my God is not a God waiting for lightning bolts to strike me, but instead he is a God that is a father to the fatherless and a defender of the widow. He, look at the next part of the scripture. I love this. Is God in his holy dwelling? God set the lonely. Everybody say lonely. He said the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So God's intent and God's desire for the orphan and the widow and those that don't have anyone is that he would set them in families, that he would provide a forever family. I love the fact that my kids, whenever they got to the orphanage, that immediately the Christian brothers and sisters there said, we're going to pray for our forever family. Ted and I show up at the orphanage over three years ago, and we show up in the orphanage and we're like, man, this is the greatest orphan. I've been a couple orphanages. This one topped it all. They loved Jesus. They were teaching our kids. They had Bible study in the morning and Bible study in the evening. That's more than we do. Can I get an amen from the families? We not that good. And so, you know, I'm good if we say a prayer whenever we're tired. And so we're sitting there and like, wow, we feel like they should stay. But God's intent for the lonely is to set them in families, right? So if you're single, God's intent is maybe not to be married, maybe one day, but actually to set you in a family. And I know because I'm single and so I'm 32. God's desire for the prisoner is to set them in families and have a people that will come around them and embrace them and take care of them. Why? Because that is a picture of the gospel. That is a picture of the heart of God. When we see the gospel message that Christ came down for us, here's what happens. God is setting a picture. When we take care of the widow or the orphan or the prisoner, or we look at the poor, that is a clear picture. See, the world is not looking for me to say a bunch of things. The world is not looking for another great sermon, though they have many great sermons. The world is looking for someone who displays the picture of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture that you adopt a kid into your family, just like Jesus adopted us into his family. Amen. We're looking at that at the gospel message, and we're looking at that, and then you look at the Psalms, and that's the attitude of God. God's attitude is to take care of the fatherless and the homeless and the prisoner. That's who he is. Somebody say, that's who he is. That's who God is. And so when we look at that, in fact, James, the brother of Jesus, in James chapter 1, it says this. Before we get into Luke, James 1 says, religion that God, everybody say God. The religion that God our Father accepts. Now, we're not talking the religion that the world accepts, because they will look for something fake or looking on beautiful on the outside, but on the inside sort of messed up. They said the religion that God accepts. Everybody say God again. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after who? The orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It's both, right? We're to take care of people. We're to feed the homeless. We're to do those things, but also to keep ourselves polluted. Sometimes we get that mixed up, and we think, if I'll just give, and you go into this good works mode, and I'll give more things. I'll do more things. I'll serve more. And yet God says it's both. Taking care of orphans, taking care of the widow, taking care of those who don't have, but also to keep ourselves unpolluted from the world, because that's whenever we see what? Again, a clear picture of who Jesus is. We're seeing the image of Jesus Christ. So what happens if we don't do it? Well, that's why you're in Luke. Are you in Luke yet? Luke chapter 6 in verse 17. What if we don't look after the orphan? I might need some water. The widow, the prisoner, or the poor. We miss out on God's greatest desire. Excuse me. We miss out on God's greatest desire for our lives. The greatest excitement. A lot of people will ask me about my kids, and they'll say, oh, your kids are so lucky. And I would say, Ted and I are so blessed. It's not that they came into our lives and that they were so messed up and whatever. We were the ones that needed a family. We were the ones that God chose to take care. The greatest desire of our lives, the greatest excitement in our lives. Do you know that there are 1 million churches in America? 1 million churches. Do you know that there are 500,000 kids in foster care? So if one in every two churches would have one family that would take a kid out of foster care, do you know that the problem would not be a problem anymore? If one family in one in two churches would take a kid in, that there would be no more foster care system. I know this because my dad is quickly approaching 70, and two or three weeks ago, they took in two foster kids. One is 6 and one is like 5. And yesterday, we were at a festival, and my mom and dad are taking care of two kids, pulling them out of that and placing them into a family. See, it's the heart of God. It's the heart of God to look at our lives and say, how is it that we can help? What is it that we can do? And in Luke 6, chapter 17, it's Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Now, Pastor Ted preached last week on Matthew. And in Matthew, it's very weird or clear that whenever we see the New Testament, what happened at first was there was a list of documents. It was called the Q documents. And the Q mean quell, which means source. And so they would have these documents that were passing around from believer to believer. They didn't write much down because they believed that Jesus was coming back quickly. But eventually, from those documents, Mark writes a book and he calls it Mark after himself. A perspective of who Jesus is. From the book of Mark, Matthew writes a book and Luke writes a book. So Matthew and Luke are looking at the same text and the same stories, but they have a different perspective. So a lot of people, if you will look at this Kleenex box, you would say, oh, well, they're looking at Jesus and there's four different Jesuses, but that's not true. What it is the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are looking at the picture of Jesus from their perspective, but Jesus is always the same. Amen? Just like if you were looking at this box, someone would notice the tissue. My husband would notice the square shape of that box. Someone else might notice the puff sign, and they're all correct, right? It's all true of the box, but you have a different perspective that you bring to the table. And so whenever we're looking at the gospel of Matthew, Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that is true. Jesus preached that. In fact, Matthew goes to the mountain and preaches, blessed are the poor in spirit. But look at Luke in chapter 6. I really am getting there. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 17, are you there? Luke 6 and verse 17, it says, and he, who is he? Jesus. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. So this is a different instance than in Matthew chapter 6. The Beatitudes are different in this case. And he came down with them and they stood on a level place with a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre, and with unclean spirits they were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came out, and it healed them all. So notice, this is a mass and diverse crowd, much like today, right? We have a diverse crowd. I'm not talking so much about skin color in this crowd, though that is diverse. I am talking about where we come from, that we do have orphans in this place, that we have widows in this place, that we have prisoners that came from prison in this place, and that we have the poor in this place. I think that's a beautiful thing about Hope Community Church, that you see the diversity of skin, but you also see the diversity of the way that we live. And yet God honors that, and he's talking to this same kind of crowd. In Luke, we see that he's talking to the same kind of people, a diverse crowd. Some people have, some people don't have. Some people are affluent, some are not. Some come from widows, some are not. And he's talking to them from all these different sides, all these different economics. And in Matthew, and in verse 20, it says this, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. So he starts to talk to the people that are serious about following Jesus. And he said, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Now, it's interesting because Luke is different than Matthew. It's nothing to get nervous about. It doesn't make the Bible not true. Jesus clearly was about both. Listen to what he says. Blessed are you who are poor. He doesn't say poor in spirit. He says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He says, blessed are you when you are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. In Matthew's gospel, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's clearly the same thing. Now, Luke is concerned about the universality of who Jesus is. He is preaching to a diverse and Gentile audience. And he looked at this scripture and he says, Jesus would say, and has said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall what? For you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and they revile you, and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for their fathers did to the prophet. But then Jesus says, and Matthew does not include this, but Luke's gospel says, but woe. Everybody say woe. Now this is where I concern myself, because as an American, I am rich. And you say, oh, I'm not rich. But do you know that the global climate of rich, most people in the world make less than $2 a day. And so whenever you look at that over a span of time, we have been in countries where there is no food. I have been in places where there, and I'm not talking about 100 people, I'm talking about there is no job to have food. We're not talking about places like India where millions and millions of people cannot get out of the caste system that they were born in. And if you're born in the lowest caste system, there is no getting out. There is no American dream in India. There is just the system that you were born in and you can't do anything about it. That's what I'm talking about when I'm looking at the poor. And so God says, blessed are those people, because they realize whenever you're around those kind of people, they realize that heaven is coming soon. They're not so concerned about the things of the earth. Rather, they are concerned about the vision and the calling of heaven. But then Jesus says, woe. Everybody say woe. They take a look at your life. He says, but woe to you who are rich. Everybody say, I'm rich. For you have received your consolation. It says, woe to you who are full. I think most of us woke up this morning and ate something or will eat something in the very near future. No one doesn't have food. It says, woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you, check this out, who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And God's not saying it's wrong to be rich, or it's wrong to have food, or it's wrong to be growing up in America, or it's wrong to laugh. I laugh all the time. I love telling jokes. I tell jokes all the time. I love that. It's a part of my personality. But he's just saying, watch it. Check it out. Make sure that what I have given you, whether that's riches, or maybe that you live in a place or an environment that allows you to pursue a dream, that you will just remind yourself that you're really not as poor as you think you are, that you're really not as hungry. You ever say that? I'm so hungry, I'm starving. You're really not starving like you think you are. You're really not in those kind of desperate places. You're not so, someone hasn't sold you into slavery. So you can't really say, well, I'm just so tired, or those kind of things like you think you are. These things we have to realize about yourself. You have to have a God-like attitude toward the poor, toward the widow, the orphan, the prisoner, because God is a God who is concerned. The blessings are good, but the woes we need to check out. When our concern only lies with me, myself, and I, there is a problem. Can I say that again? When our concern only lies with me, myself, and I, there is a problem. This is where you take humility. Humility takes an action. So while Pastor Ted preached about being humble last week, today we're talking about what does it look like to take care of the poor and the widow. This is the display of the gospel in its purest forms. Whenever James says to take care of orphans and widows, he's saying that shows the heart of Jesus. Whenever the Psalms take it and say God's attitude is for the fatherless, that shows the heart of Jesus. Here you see the heart of Jesus through Luke, his disciple. Your attitude for the orphan and the widow and the prisoner and the poor has to be like his. As a believer, I have to have the same heart as my Savior. And so sometimes if I'm honest, and maybe if you're honest too, I don't always have a good heart towards some of the things that I just mentioned. Sometimes I'm just like, if you will just work yourself up, if you will grab yourself by the bootstraps, and if you will do something different, right? Some people, I'm like that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's just looking at my life and saying, God, am I concerned with the things that concern your heart? God, am I concerned with the things that burden you? Whenever I look at what God is concerned about, it's probably not the same things that I'm concerned about. He is concerned about the orphan. He is concerned about the poor. He is concerned about the widow. And so today, our actions have to align themselves with Jesus. We have to look like Jesus. You notice in all of Scripture, Jesus doesn't teach first. He has an action first. Maybe he heals someone. Maybe he feeds 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus always has an action that causes someone to come to himself. And then he preaches the good news of Jesus. We have to have an action, an attitude that makes sense. And so today in the room, you're looking at me like, you're okay, Tara, I get it. I need to take care of these people. But then maybe you are one of those people. You ever thought about that? Like, whenever you're playing on a sports team, there's only one quarterback, right? There's only one person that has that job. It makes sense, right? Whenever you're thinking about a team action, your action today will completely depend on who you are in this equation. So a quarterback only takes on quarterback responsibilities. There's no way that you want Drew Brees this afternoon to play on the offensive line or the defensive line, right? Because he already broke his finger one time. We've had enough of that. So you don't want him to change positions. So maybe if you're a teacher, right, you don't want that teacher to become a doctor, and you don't want the doctor to become a teacher. You have a part to play depending on who you are in the equation. So our action today, you say, okay, how do I apply this message? Because maybe you don't know an orphan. Or maybe you can't have someone in your house into foster care because of your set of circumstances. And we know that as your pastors, we understand that. That's why whenever you give your tithe and offering here, we have said, you know what? We give over 10% right back out to, guess what? Orphans. We support every month 2 orphanages, one in Africa. Maybe you can never get to Africa, but when you give, that goes right to Africa. Can we play the synth? And Brandon, if you play the guitar. You know, we support Cebu Shelter of Hope. Of course, I'm partial. My kids are from there. But we know it to be a good place. We know that God is moving. So we support orphanages. We support 2 addiction homes right here in Houma that are helping people that are full of addiction. Do you know that in this building we have a pregnancy resource center, and the people that we see the most of, single moms, people that don't have a husband and that just need some help. They need someone to listen to their stories month after month after month. See, tithes, when you give your tithe or your offering, that isn't just to bless you or for God to protect you. I heard that one time. Somebody said, well, you know, the church asks us for money, and I gave my money. And then you don't really hear anything else about it. And of course, when you tithe, it blesses your house. Maybe your things last longer or your things stretch. Or maybe you steward your money well. But when you tithe too, it gives to bless the work of the Lord. You know those people, we have a mission that we support every month in India. And they're rescuing girls from sex slavery. That's amazing. They can't do anything else, but whenever you give, you're saying, hey, I want to participate. You can't expect the American government to do the job that was intended for the Christian church. You can't. See, that's I think some of the problem whenever you're, and I'm not against government jobs, and if you have one, man, live for Jesus in that government job. But you cannot expect the American government to take the place of what Christ intended for the church. See, the orphans and the widows and the poor and the homeless, that was for us. That was for us to take care of. So when you see them and you're thinking, man, they're not doing their job, it was not the job for the government. It was the job for the church. And we're to look at that and say, okay, when you're helping someone and there is no benefit to you, they might not even thank you. They might not even like talk to you again. They might just take your stuff and leave. But when you help someone with no benefit, doesn't that display the glorious good news of Jesus? Come on, you know some of you have walked away from Christ and you've taken from God. And he still adopts you back in, right, to the family of God. So when you help someone, it shows who Jesus is. Now, you're going to have to be intentional about this. You're going to have to be intentional in your life and say, God, what do you have for me? What does it look like to have your attitude towards those that were just talked about? My son, he's going to be sort of haunt that I'm talking about him. He's from the Philippines, and they don't have a lot there at all. And he knows that because of his story that one day God will allow him to share. He knows what it's like to grow up with nothing. And so we were in El Salvador this summer, and in El Salvador there's these group of missionaries, and they're all in the front of the church, and one little girl from El Salvador is going to the Philippines to minister there and to reach kids. And to give them food, and then to give them the good news of Jesus. And he knows. And so he's sitting at the table, and every ounce of allowance money that he had, he gave to her. He just gave her the whole thing. And I'm sitting there, so he comes. So then he comes up to me, and he says, Mom, can you get a shirt for me? And I'm like, no, because that's not our rule. You spent your allowance money. You don't get anything else. And he said, but I want to give it to the girl so she can get to the Philippines to help my people. So then I just take out 20s. Here you go. Here you go. It's yours anyway. It's yours. See, depending on who you are in the room, God will have a different calling for you. For the orphans in the room, we say at Hope Community that you are welcome and we want to be your family. I'm just saying that. And I know this might not have been the family that you asked for, but this is the family God gave. That's what I tell my kids every single day. And if we can help you, and if we can love on you, and if you want to text me at 2 a.m., you go right ahead. I might not answer, but 6 o'clock a.m., I got you. We're good. We're family. This is your family. Welcome home. For the me's that are not orphans in the room, you might need to look into fostering or adoption. I mean, look at that. For the widows in the room, I want to say that God sees your tears. And again, we want to be your family. And if you need some men to help you out, they got some men in this building that we're going to call on for you, and my husband is right there with you to help you out. We say that, again, welcome home. For the me's that are not a widow in the room, we want to say, find a way that you can bless a widow. Think of the holiday season. Call them up. Have them over. Spend time with them. Invite them. Have lunch together. Pour into and invest into their lives. And if they have kids, invest into the life of their kids. Man, take them in as family and say, hey, let's do life together. We want to help you, whatever that looks like, whatever need you have, let us know. For the prisoners in the room, we say to live with us and do life with us and live in God's complete forgiveness, because we're all just one step away from prison. Come on. You know you made a stupid mistake one time that could have landed you there. And we want to help you. For the me's in the room, for the prisoners, would you listen to their stories? Would you share in God's redemptive love, knowing that we could have all been in that same pitfall? For the poor in the room, we say, you're welcome. Welcome home. For the me's in the room that have more than they need, be generous because God is generous to you. Be creative. Be wise. Don't just do hands out. Though handouts are good, think about ways that you can do hands up. That you can lift somebody up and get them out of the place that they're in and push them to another place. Because we do live in America and we can help. But then think about all those worldwide. You know, my family, we adopted a little girl from Africa, from Sierra Leone. We already have four. So I felt the Lord impress that on our hearts. So we adopted a little girl from World Vision. And my kids freaked out. She's coming home with us? No, because they know their mom's crazy. They're like, we have another sister? No, you don't. She sits in our refrigerator. But every month, we just take care. We send $29.99 or $39.99 a month just so that her and her family can be taken care of, because that's where the Ebola virus broke out. And we want to say, and her name is Mommy, and we just look at her picture. She's the only picture that we have on our refrigerator is Mommy, and she's from Sierra Leone. We've just taken her in to our family and been generous because God has been overwhelmingly generous to us. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? In the room today, there are some people that are orphan or widow or poor and prisoner. And I just felt compelled by the Lord that we want to come and stand with you. Now, if you feel uncomfortable and you're like, I don't really want to stand up, that's fine. But if that fits you today, would you just stand where you are and you say, you know, I want someone to come by me, and we're just going to pray for you and over you and hug on you and love on you. Maybe there's someone else. Is there anybody else in the room that you say, you know what, that's me, and I'm going to need a family and I'm going to need a place? Anybody else in the room, you say, I don't have and I need to have that in my life? Anybody else in the room? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Don't look at your neighbor or anything like that. Now here's what I need. For anybody that's in the room that would feel like, hey, I can just go and hug their neck and love on them and pray for them. Anybody else in the room? Now, I need some people that know the Lord. Would you just go up right where you are, look in your section, that know the Lord, and just go and hug and lay your hands on them. You're just going to stand up from your seat and just say, okay, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to come around you, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to cover you. Somebody else that knows the Lord, anybody else that would come and know the Lord. We have someone this side. Anybody else that would know the Lord, stand up where you are. Yes, somebody else, two or three people, not just one person, two or three people from the church that would come to those people and just hug on them and love on them. Anybody else? We got a girl, a guy. We got a guy right here. Just stretch out your hands. We're just going to pray. We're gonna live this out practically. Come on. I don't know. I just live with kids and their hearts are broken because of what's happened to them. And I'm around people that their hearts are broken because of the things that have happened to them. And our job is to reflect Jesus, to care for those people that are hurting and to be sensitive to them and to say, and in Ecclesiastes said there's a season to mourn, and when they're mourning that you mourn with them, when they're weeping that you weep with them, that your heart bleeds because of the things that they have gone through. Can you just stretch out your hand to them wherever they are in the building? God, today, Lord God, we ask, God, that you will cover, God, that you will protect in the name of Jesus. God, we see the pain and the hurt and those things that have gone on in their lives, Lord God. And I pray, God, that you will just wrap your arms of love around them. Oh, God, that they're not less than because of what's happened to them. But, God, they are more than conquerors. God, that they have a name and a place in heaven. And, God, they have a family that is here in this place, Lord God. And I pray, God, that you will comfort them. God, that you will heal every broken place. God, every wound, Lord God, every hurt, every pain. God, we thank you that you are a God to the fatherless. God, that you are concerned about the widow. God, that you have a plan for the orphan and that you lead the prisoners out with singing. God, what a picture of an attitude that we're supposed to have. God, I pray that our church, God, here at Hope Community, would look and act with the heart of God. God, we thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Would you just look at me just for a moment? as they're still praying. I know there's some that didn't stand. I know that, and I get that, and I understand. We're doing a food drive here. In 2 weeks, we're going to pack up those baskets and get the food ready. That's just another way to care for someone who doesn't have. Do you know that we have a list of single moms already on that list just waiting? Hey, Thanksgiving's coming. I won't be able to provide for my kids. Go pick up a couple of canned goods. It doesn't always have to be the most difficult thing. Sometimes it could be just a simple gesture. Go get some rice or some beans and do those things. Hey, find someone and say, hey, come over to my house. I'm just watching the game. Come and watch the game with me. Or just text someone, right? Just text someone and say, hey, you know, we just love you and we're praying for you. Can we do anything for you? Because we realize that when we do that, we have the attitude of Jesus Christ. I love you guys. We hope to see you Wednesday. Give Jesus some praise. Find someone you don't know and his name. And so don't forget the thrift store is open right after service. They have amazing things, and that just goes to support our ministries. We can't wait to see you soon. In Jesus' name.